Okay, it's the Father Heart TV live webcast, Wednesday the 23rd of May 2018. And tonight it's Mark Jide speaking about some practical ways in which God can be a father to us. Really this sort of, I suppose this conversation or this topic goes back a few weeks ago when I was staying in Barry's house over in Canada for a week, and we obviously had a lot of fun and we spent a lot of time chatting and talking and so on. But one of the things we talked about is what is our life message? You know, what is the thing that we really feel very, very comfortable about speaking about and sharing about and ministering about? And, you know, what really brings us life? And, you know, we were then talking about how those things actually become the focus of so much of what we say or so much of what we teach. And those of us who know Barry will know that the thing that he really, really focuses on and speaks a lot about and really draws out of whatever topic he's speaking about is the childlike heart. You know, you only have to be on the webcast a few weeks to hear that come up. And that's absolutely crucial and vital for us. But I was thinking about this, you know, for me, and as Barry and I were talking a few weeks ago, the thing that is really, really, you know, for me is the equivalent is God being a father to us. I will be a father to you. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. And I realized, you know, how much when I'm teaching, whether it's on an A school or a B school or just church conferences or weekends, you know, almost whatever topic I'm teaching about, I come back to the conclusion is so that God can be a father to us, so that God can father us in our everyday lives, so that we can know and we can experience him fathering us in a very real and practical way. And for me, that is the, you know, I guess that's, if I had to sort of put in a sentence what this whole revelation means to me is God being a father to me and me living in the center of his love, knowing that I'm loved in exactly the same way as Jesus did. And I was just thinking about that and really I realized how much of what I say and how much of what I teach comes back to the to me, for me, the central thing is God being a father to us. And those of you who've been on the, many of you who've been on the webcast before will, you know, you'll have heard me say how important those two words are to you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. And how the revelation of those two little words, you know, I will be a father to you, you know, how much they've changed my life and how much I believe they can change all of our lives together. That it's not just knowing that God is a father, but it's opening our heart up and allowing him to be a father to us. And so that's kind of the background, if you like, of this discussion, this conversation that we're having this evening, because I started to think, well, what are some of the practical ways in which God is a father to us? You know, trying to sort of break it down so it really relates to our lives. And I just got to, you know, I think actually the list is exhaustive. It's not exhausting. It's exhaustive. This list is not exhaustive. There's plenty of other things we could add. But these are just a few things that sort of struck me as I was just thinking about this, preparing this. And the first one, I just want to look at a few verses in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and to the crowds on the mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, Jesus is encouraging his disciples here not to worry. And, you know, there's not many of us that don't worry about something some of the time. You know, worry is something that we spend a lot of time being consumed by. You know, in my job as an accountant, I have a lot of people coming into my office, and a lot of the time I'm listening to their worries or their concerns. You know, I'm listening to them saying that the profit of the business is low, or the interest rates on the loans are too high, or they can't get the right staff, or they can't get the right production line, or there's just not enough sales out there, or there's too many new systems or too many new rules. And, you know, they sit across my desk and, you know, I listen to their worries. And, you know, those worries are very, very real concerns for people. And, you know, we've probably only got to look back over today, and probably all of us in some shape or form have worried about something. And the thing is, we actually very often, maybe not all the time, but very often, we actually worry about the things we cannot change. You see, if we could change them, we would probably get out there and change them. We would do something about it. I mean, maybe not all the time, but a lot of the time, if we could change the situation, we would go and do it. But very often, we worry about those things that we just have got no power to change. And that makes us feel a little bit powerless, I guess. And it's a struggle for us continually. In our day-to-day lives, it's something that we come up against regularly. And yet, Jesus is talking to the people and he understands humanity. Of course he understands humanity. He knows that worry is something that wears people down. You know, he knows that worry is something that consumes a lot of energy and a lot of time. And so he says to the people, he says, hey, look, don't worry. Don't worry. He says, you know, yes, you need food. Yes, you need clothes. Yes, you need provisions. But don't worry about them. Just let your heavenly Father provide. Just let your Father in heaven, who knows what you need, give you what you need when you need it. You know, it's like he's saying, come on, look at the flowers, look at the birds. They're so beautiful, they have everything they need, but they don't have a care in the world. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, you can be like that. You can have that simplicity of life that simply doesn't let the cares and the anxieties and the worries of life drag us down. And, you know, I believe this is a really, really practical way in which we can allow God to be a father to us, because our heavenly Father is incredibly strong, incredibly powerful, but incredibly loving, and he wants to provide for us. He wants to look after us. He wants to be a father to us. You know, How many earthly parents, you know, abandon their kids and don't give them what they need, particularly obviously when they're young children? You know, a father and a mother, they deal with the anxiety and the worry of a child's life by providing for them. You know, they give them what they need when they need it. And, you know, Jesus is saying, your Father in heaven is just like that. You don't need to worry, but you can just trust him. You can just rely on him. And, you know, and I believe this is such a practical way that we can allow God to be a father to us. But as I've been thinking about this, it struck me that there's a choice involved. Now, you know, of course God is loving, of course God is a provider, of course God is generous, of course he doesn't want us to worry. But there is a choice, because we have to give our worries to him. You know, in Peter, it says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And, you know, it's like in that, there's an implicit choice in that verse in Peter's letter that says, you know, yes, you can carry your cares around or you can give them to him. And as we give them to him, it's a very, very real opportunity for us to allow him to be a father to us. See, I believe we can go on carrying our worries and our cares and our anxieties. You know, we can lump them around and we can try and think we've got to somehow, you know, have this ability to change what we actually can't change. And, you know, maybe if we hang on to them, we'll be able to do something about it. Maybe the situation will change. Well, you know, normally it's only going to change like that through our own effort or our own perseverance. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, don't worry, but let my Father handle it for you, because he knows what you need. And I believe we have this choice. You know, do we want to give God the opportunity to be a father to us? And I guess the answer to do we want is yes. And maybe the next question is can we give our worries? Can we give our anxieties to him? And that is slightly harder, because it requires that step of faith. You know, the first question, do we want him to take our worries? That's a knowledge. You know, that's a question we can answer with our mind. Yes, of course we do. But can we allow him to take our worries or anxieties? That's starting to move into the realms where we have to take a step of faith and give him the things that are concerning us, give him the things that are worrying us, in order that he can carry them and then that he can provide for us. So we have this choice. You know, of course we probably all in theory do want to do it, but can we do it? And I think that's where we have to sort of, we have to recognize that he is so much bigger than us. He is so much more loving than we can ever imagine. And it's that simple childlike faith that says, Father, I'm going to trust you with these things. So Jesus ends this little passage in verse 34 by saying, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, even if you get through today, you've still got tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to have enough cares, enough anxieties, enough worries. And what Jesus is really saying is why don't you get into the habit of walking with me and letting me carry these burdens? Why don't you get into the habit? Why don't you live a lifestyle where you're constantly giving me the things you worry about? Because as you do that, it's an opportunity for me to come and be a father to you. And I just believe that's it's a very, very big area, but I believe it's a very practical area for us all, that we can take Jesus's words to heart and say, yeah, you know, God looks after the birds of the air. He looks after the flowers of the ground. You know, how much more is he going to look after me just because I'm his son or his daughter? You know, and so it's just a huge area, I believe, where we can allow God to be a father to us. And it's that choice of letting go of wanting to do it ourselves and giving it to him and saying, Father, I choose to trust you. And, you know, the moment we do that, we will discover that he is faithful, that he is loving, and he will provide. So I want to encourage you today, this evening, just to maybe look at those things that you're carrying that are worries or concerns, and choose to give them to your Father. And as you do that, allow him to be a father to you. The second area I want to look at is probably an extension, if you like, of worry, but it's the whole topic of fear. You know, to me, it's like fear is like worry multiplied and concentrated and compressed, and you know, it's just a sort of intense feeling of being powerless. And in 1 John 4, 18, John writes, you know, perfect love casts out fear. God is love. You know, perfect love casts out fear. And to me, fear is so crippling, it's so paralyzing, it's so debilitating. And to me, it's the opposite of what love is, because Jesus says perfect love drives away fear. And the thing that John says in his letter is that fear has to do with punishment. You see, when we make a decision as to what is right or what is wrong, and we're basing it on our own judgment and our own intellect, we're then open, if you like, for that decision to be challenged. And you know, or we live in fear from ourselves of thinking, have I done the right thing? Have I made the right choice? Have I made the right decision? And it's like there's this fear rises up. Have I done the right thing? And the feeling is that if you haven't, if you've done the wrong thing, then there's going to be punishment. And it's like John is saying, that's a terrible way to live. Always looking over your shoulder, thinking, have I done the right thing? Have I done the wrong thing? Am I going to be judged? Am I going to be punished? You know, is someone going to come and slap me down for what I've done? And that's, you know, that's when fear gets hold of us, and it instead of looking forwards, instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus and looking at Jesus, looking at our Father, we're constantly looking over our shoulder, because we're never quite sure whether we've done the right thing or not. And there's always this question of, if it's wrong, then I'm going to be punished. And that's what fear has to do with. Fear has to do with punishment. But there is no punishment in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And when we have the threat of when we have the threat of punishment removed, we can live so much more freely. You know, if you're worried all the time about having done the wrong thing, if you're constantly feeling, you know, someone's going to come and judge what I've done and it'll be wrong and then there'll be a punishment and a penalty, you know, you're not living freely. You're not living in the freedom which is meant for the glorious sons of God. And, you know, fear is so paralyzing. It just prevents us entering the lifestyle, the inheritance that we were called to live as sons and daughters. And yeah, fear is very, very real. Fear is very, very powerful, you know, and I believe it's actually one of the biggest weapons that the enemy uses against us, because if he could sow fear into our lives, constantly sowing fear into our lives, he actually makes us ineffective. He stops us being the sons and daughters that we are. And it just stops us in a track. He doesn't have to do anything else. He's just made us ineffective because he's sown fear into our hearts. And as we choose to live in love, as we are rooted and grounded in love, so fear has to go. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. And, you know, this is again such a huge area where we can allow God to be a father to us. That we can seek, where is it? The beginning of Corinthians 13, or it says, make love your greatest aim. You know, choose love, choose a life of love. Choose to live in love, because the more we live in love, the more we're planted in love, the more we're rooted and established in love, the more that love will drive the fear away from our lives. And this is such a huge area where we can allow God to be a father to us, that we can recognize the fear in our lives and we can say, Father, I am choosing today to live in love. I am choosing to make love my greatest aim. I am choosing to focus on love. And Father, as I do, I'm trusting you to deal with this fear that is gripping my heart. And as we make, it's like it is a conscious decision, but it's because we've seen something with the eyes of our heart, and we've seen with the eyes of our heart that it is possible to live in love, and we've seen with the eyes of our heart that God is a loving Father and he wants to be a father to us. And so the more we pursue that, the more we allow ourselves to be rooted and grounded in love, and the more the fear that's in our lives, in our hearts, will have to go. And, you know, it's just such a practical but important way in which we can allow God to be a father to us. He doesn't want us to be trapped by fear. He wants us to be free. And, you know, when we come to him and say, Father, I want to be free. I want to live freely. You know, will you deal with this fear that is paralyzing me? We're allowing him to step into our lives and to be a father to us and to help us on this journey together. So the first way I believe God can be a father to us is by us giving him our worries. Secondly, is through us asking him through the power of his love to deal with the fear in our lives. And thirdly is something which I believe is important for our sonship. And it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Just turn that up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus again is talking to his disciples. Says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. You know, love those who persecute you. Love those who speak ill of you. In order that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. See, I think what that's talking about is the whole area of judgment. It's very easy for us to judge other people. It's very easy for us to criticize other people. It's very easy for us to think that we're right and they're wrong. And so we form all these judgments in our mind, and they actually can take a hold of us, and they can, you know, they can cause us to think wrongly about people. We make assumptions, we make accusations. And really what we're doing is saying, my opinion is right. And what that does is it causes a barrier. It causes relational breakdown. It causes, you know, people to drift apart and not talk to each other. And Jesus says, you know, why don't you reverse that? Instead of judging people who criticize you, instead of judging people who persecute you, why don't you love them? Because if you love them, it's like Jesus says, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. It's like our love for them is a sign of our sonship. And instead of judging and instead of criticizing, if we can release love to people, you know, we don't have all this relational breakdowns, we don't have all this division, we don't have all these barriers, but we're building bridges to one another. And, you know, very often that's not something we can do on our own. That's something we actually find very, very difficult to do a lot of the time. But I believe this is an area that we can allow God to be a father to us, because it's not easy. You know, we know it's not easy. It's not easy to forgive people when they hurt you. It's not easy to release people when they criticize you and judge you. And so often what we do is we pay their judgment back with our own judgment. And Jesus says that's not a way to live. And, you know, if we can just, maybe when someone's hurt us or wounded us or said something or judged us, we can just say, Father, will you help me to release love to that other person? See, I believe this is just such an important area that we can allow God to be a father to us, because we can't do it on our own. We can try and we might be a little bit successful, but you know, you and I know that we try and we fail. And, you know, we might be good for half an hour, but then it's not long before we're judging and criticizing other people. And if we can just come to the Father and say, Father, I really want you to help me with this. You know, I want you to father me through this. You know, I want you to come and help me release love to those who've criticized or wounded me. Because I really believe that that is a sign of our sonship. It's a sign of us living as sons and daughters. And actually, you know, when we live like that, we live more in peace. And we don't get so worked up by our own criticisms and judgments of other people. But somehow we're able just to let it go and just give it to the Father and to release love. And that is so much more freeing. It's so much less stressful. And again, it's an area, I believe, that crops up daily in our lives. You know, you could probably look back over today. And for those of you in New Zealand, you can think about this for tomorrow. But, you know, we can look back over today and think, wow, you know, yeah, I can see times already that I've judged or criticized. You know, Father, I wish I could have released love in those situations. Instead of causing division or barriers. I believe that's just an important area. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. You know, I wonder how many times or how often we pray for ourselves to have a spirit of wisdom or revelation so that we'd know God better. You see, I think sometimes we rush into something in our own strength and we try and work it out ourselves, and we don't pause and say, Father, I need a spirit of wisdom and revelation here. Father, I need to understand what your heart is for this situation. Before I rush in and do something, I need to know what you're saying. You know, how often do we do that? How often do we pause and say, Father, I need a spirit of wisdom and revelation? And in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul says that, that's verse 17. But verse 15 is, for this reason. And then he goes on to say, so for this reason, I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, and what reason is it? You know, Paul has just said, it's for this reason that I'm asking that you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So what is the reason that he's praying this? Well, if we look back at the first part of Ephesians chapter 1, it's all about our spiritual blessings in Christ and the fact that we are in Christ, and that, you know, as Paul says in Colossians, we're hidden in Christ in God. And it's like our life, and Barry talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's like, you know, our lives are so tied up with the life of the Father that we almost don't have any life of our own apart from him. And, you know, Paul is talking about what it means to be in Christ with all of the spiritual blessings and the forgiveness of sins and predestined to be sons and daughters and brought into the purpose and the plan of his will. And, you know, Paul has given us this glorious big picture of what it is like to be in Christ. And then he kind of realizes that we can't we can't get there on our own. And he says, well, because we're in Christ, you know, you need to understand this. So you need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, you know, I really believe we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation filling us every day in order to enable us to see how big our Father is and how vast his love for us is. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that we would be strengthened in our spirit in order that we would know how vast the love of God is. See, when we know that we're living in Christ, what actually happens is we live with a heavenly perspective. You know, we're looking forwards. We're not looking over our shoulder. We're not looking backwards. We're not looking at, you know, what might have been or what has been or what could have been or what people think of us. But instead of focusing and, you know, on the broken world that we live in, we have this heavenly perspective where we know that we are in Christ. And, you know, that's an incredible blessing for each one of us to receive and live in, to know that we're in him. And, you know, as we're looking at this topic of practical ways of allowing God to be a father to us, it's, for me, it's constantly asking him to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I would know who he is. And it's like my gaze would only be on him, that he would fill my thoughts, he would fill my mind, and, you know, I would see with the eyes of my heart what he's really like. See, I believe as we see what he is really like, we actually begin to understand more and more who we really are. And this is such a big thing, knowing we're in Christ, knowing that our lives are hidden in him. Jesus introduces this whole theme in John chapter 14, when he's telling his disciples he's about to return to his Father. And he says, but, you know, I'm going back to my Father, but we will come and make our home with you. That's John 14, verse 23. And, you know, Jesus is laying this foundation that the Father and the Son are going to come and make their home in our hearts. But not only that, but we are in them just as they are in us. And, you know, this is just an incredible sort of foundation. And Jesus says that, you know, when he goes back to heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit who will gather us into this intimacy and union and oneness with Jesus and with the Father. And it's a huge thing. And obviously, Paul builds on this through his letters. But I see this as being such a huge opportunity for us to allow God to be a father to us. You know, that because we can't grasp this with our human understanding. It's too big. You know, our human mind was never meant to comprehend this. And so, like Paul says, we in Ephesians 1 verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened so that you can see this. And, you know, I just believe that we need to keep coming to the Father and saying, Father, will you cause the eyes of my heart to be open more and more and more? Will you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation more and more and more so that I will begin to see who you are, that I will begin to see you're my loving Father, that I will begin to see that you do care for me, that you do provide for me, that I don't need to worry about my life, that I don't need to have fear for my life, but I can trust in you. And, you know, as we do that, we're just simply saying to the Father, Father, come and be a father to me. You know, that I would see more of who you, because if the more we see of him, the more it's going to transform our lives. You know, we have the assurance the certainty of the promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, where Paul writes, he says, in Christ all his promises are yes and amen. See, and again, I think sometimes we just need to keep coming back to that and hanging on to it, because sometimes life is just life. You know, sometimes life is not going as we would like it to go. Sometimes life is not going well. Sometimes we've got all the struggles and the brokenness and the woundedness of life. And that can unsettle us. That can, you know, test our foundation. But we can come back to this rock that in Christ, all his promises are yes and amen. There's a certainty and assurance. You see, we don't get that certainty. We don't get that assurance from the world system. We don't get that from the financial systems. We don't get that from our pension provision. We don't get that from our health systems. We don't get that from our jobs. But we do get it in him. Because in him, there's a certainty and a sureness that he is unchangeable. He is unchanging. And his love is constant. It will never run out. It will never fail us. And there are times, I believe, that we have to come back to this place of reminding ourselves that, yes, in him, all his promises are yes and amen. And finally, I just want to throw another area out where God can be a father to us, because this is a very real one. We may not be able to change our situation. There may be nothing we can do to change the situation. But he is always with us. And I think it was Bill Johnson who said, I'd rather he went through it with me than I went through it on my own. See, our situations may not change. Things may remain the same. But we have the certainty and the knowledge that he is always with us. And I think there are just sometimes we just have to cry out to him and say, Father, this situation's horrible. This situation's not changing. It's not getting any better. But Father, make me aware of your loving presence. And may I know your presence is with me. And may I know that I'm not alone, that I'm walking through this with you, and that you're carrying me through this. See, I believe that opens our heart up to a huge place of contentment, where we actually learn to rest in him. And I just want to leave that with you, because very often we can't see how things are going to change. But he is always with us, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And, you know, he will always be there for us. He is always loving us. You know, he is loving each one of us right now. And we have that absolute certainty that whatever we go through, he is with us. And, you know, that just opens our hearts up to peace and rest. And I'd just like to pray as we finish that these areas, and maybe other areas that you thought of as I've been talking, that they're opportunities to allow God to come and be a father to us. But also, just as we spend just a few moments soaking and seeking him and resting in him, we would really understand, well, maybe God the Father would just give us that gift of contentment in our hearts, that we would, in the midst of our circumstances, there would be an overwhelming contentment that just floods our hearts. So why don't we just open our hearts to him? I'd just like to pray. Then I'm just going to leave the music on for a few moments. I'll leave the room open for a few minutes. But just carry on soaking, carry on receiving. Allow God to be a father to you. And because that leads us to knowing that we are his sons and daughters. So, Father, thank you that you want to be a father to us. Father, you are a father, and you want to be a father to us. Father, we see so many times through each day when we maybe try and work things out on our own, or try and struggle through things on our own, or try and make something happen on our own, instead of giving those situations to you and allowing you to father us through them. Father, thank you that you are the perfect Father, and you want to be a Father to each one of us. You want us to know that we really are your sons and daughters. And so, Father, I just ask now that we, that Father, we might be able to give our worries and our cares and anxieties to you. Instead of carrying them ourselves, Father, we would let you be a Father to us. As you lift those cares and worries, and we trust you to provide for us. Father, we bring our fears to you. And Father, we want that perfect love to cast out the fear from our own heart. Father, fear has to do with punishment, and there is no punishment in love. Because we are made complete in love. Punishment has to do with judgment. But you don't judge us, you love us. So Father, we give you our fears. And we ask, instead of being consumed by our fears, instead of being paralyzed by our fears, we would allow you to father us through those fears into a place of perfect love. Father, where we judge or criticize one another, Father, we want to just bring those times before you. And instead of criticizing, instead of judging, Father, would you enable us to love them? That a mark of our sonship would be our love for those who criticize or wound or hurt us. And so, Father, we just ask you to father us through this area. That we would know your fathering hand guiding us to a place where we can love rather than judge. And help us, Father, to see the enormity of what it means to be in Christ. That the eyes of our heart would be open so we would know who you are, we would know who we are. That, Father, you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. Father, just come now and father us. Come and be a father to us. And even if we can't do anything about our situations, Father, we thank you that you're with us, that your love never fails us, that you never let us go, that you've promised that you will not leave us. And so, Father, we just open our hearts now. And we just say, Father, come and be a father to us. Come and be a father to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come and be a father to us.